The Kingdom of Ai, Chapter 1. Stephen was born and raised in the city of respectability. Deep in his heart, he knew that the city was nothing more than a thinly veiled lie, though his neighbors regarded him highly and considered him to be a respectable young man. Stephen despised his hometown. Outwardly, every home and business had the appearance of refinement and orderliness. But behind the scenes, the lives of its citizens were crumbling. Hatred, jealousy, marital strife, family problems, and every type of perversion were commonplace in his city, but it was covered by a cloak of feigned sophistication. Stephen hated the hypocrisy he saw every day in respectability. He wanted truth in his own life, and he hated pretending to be respectable to please the city fathers. One night, Stephen dreamt about a king sitting on a glorious throne. The king smiled at him and called him by name. He welcomed him to his kingdom, which he called the Kingdom of I Am. When Stephen woke up, he could not get the dream out of his mind. He asked around to see if anyone had ever heard of a place called the Kingdom of I Am. His neighbors laughed and said it was a fairy tale believed by old people many years ago. Upon hearing that, Stephen searched for the oldest person in the city of respectability. Stephen knocked on the door of Methuselah, an elderly man whose age was unknown even to himself. "Come in, Stephen," Methuselah called out, having spied his arrival through the window. Though Stephen had never met the man before, it did not surprise him that Methuselah knew his name. Methuselah knew everyone in respectability and their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Nothing happened in the city of respectability that escaped his notice. "What brings you to see an old man?" Methuselah asked. Stephen smiled sheepishly and told him about his dream. Then he asked, "Are you familiar with the Kingdom of I Am?" Methuselah leaned back in his overstuffed chair and had a faraway look in his eyes. He did not answer immediately. When he finally spoke, he began with these words, "When I was a child, a man named Evangelist came to our town." Methuselah launched into a lengthy narrative. He told Stephen how this man spoke to the townspeople day after day of their need to know the king and how to find his kingdom of I Am. Evangelist kept saying it was a true kingdom, unlike the kingdom of I, Methuselah told him, but most people laughed at him. Nonetheless, a few of the town elders listened to him and asked many questions. "My grandfather was one of those elders, and I followed him everywhere. So I was sitting at his feet while Evangelist spoke to them. He told them that long ago, before there were any people living on the earth, the king created a magnificent garden. He created the very first man and woman, placed them in that garden, and told them to care for it and enjoy its beauty. In the coolest part of the day, the king would walk with them and enjoy their fellowship. He told them that they could eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except for one. It was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." For a time, the man and woman obeyed the king's instruction. They enjoyed the beautiful garden and loved eating its delicious fruit. But one day, after being encouraged by a serpent to taste the alluring fruit of that mysterious tree, the two disobeyed the king. They ate the forbidden fruit. The king came to them immediately and confronted them with their disobedience. They tried to blame the serpent and then each other, but the king would not tolerate their excuses. He cast them out of the garden. They left and started their own city and had many children and grandchildren. That was the beginning of the Kingdom of I. All of us are the offspring of those two disobedient ones who would not follow the instructions of the king. "That is such a sad story," said Stephen. "But now I understand how this wretched Kingdom of I began." He hung his head dejectedly. Was there no hope to return to the king's garden? Did the king ever offer a way back into his favor? Methuselah answered slowly, "Well, there was one part of the story that I've wondered about all these years." "What was it?" Stephen demanded. "Please tell me all of it." "Evangelist told the town elders that the king is the God of justice, and at the same time, he's rich in mercy and full of compassion." Stephen pondered these words deeply. "If that is true," he said to Methuselah, "then a merciful king would not abandon the people he created without a way back into relationship with him. There must be some hope." Methuselah continued, "The king's justice required a penalty to be paid for all disobedience to the king, and the penalty he required was death." Hearing those words, Stephen's face fell. "Then it is hopeless," Stephen cried, slumping forward and holding his head in his hands. Methuselah ignored his young friend's emotional turmoil and continued, "So the king devised a plan to rescue mankind. It involved someone else willingly paying the penalty of death for the disobedient ones and allowing them to receive a new life so that they could live with the king in his kingdom of I Am." Stephen raised his head and looked at Methuselah incredulously. Who would willingly give up their own life so that others could escape a punishment they rightly deserved? "That was the most amazing part of the story," Methuselah said. "It was the king's own son." "The king's son?" Stephen asked in disbelief. "Yes, that is what Evangelist told us. I was just a child and did not understand this, but I have wondered about it many times over the years." "So did the king's son go through with it?" Stephen asked insistently. "Did he actually die so others could live with the king in his beautiful garden once again?" "According to Evangelist, he not only died to take the punishment of all who live in the kingdom of I, but he miraculously rose from the dead to show he had power over death itself." "What? What are you saying? That the king's son is alive?" Stephen demanded. "I am saying that Evangelist said that was true, but I don't know myself. Most people consider it a fairy tale," Methuselah replied with a yawn as if he was losing interest in his own story. "Did any of the elders believe him?" Stephen asked. "Most of them thought it was an interesting story, especially the part about how the kingdom of I began, but they did not pursue it any further. But there were two elders who believed the whole story," Methuselah recalled. "What did the two believers do?" Stephen inquired. "They left the city of respectability with Evangelist to seek the king, with hopes that they could live in his kingdom. But we never saw them again, so we don't actually know what happened to them." Methuselah yawned again, as if hinting that the interview was over. Stephen stood up. "Thank you for your time, sir," Stephen said as he stood to leave. Methuselah waved his hand and said, "Anytime, anytime, come and visit this old man anytime." He yawned again, closed his eyes, and leaned back into the comfort of his chair. Stephen walked out of Methuselah's house and closed the front door quietly behind him. After pondering all that Methuselah had told him, Stephen made the decision to leave the city of respectability. He felt compelled to search for the kingdom of I Am, though he wasn't even sure how he would find it. He decided he must try to discover the truth no matter what it cost him. He announced to his family and friends that he was leaving. They wept and pleaded with him, but he remained steadfast in his decision. His fellow citizens in respectability tried every method they could think of to coerce Stephen to stay with them and cancel his plans to journey to the kingdom of I Am. They tried to shame him into complying with their wishes by saying, "Everyone who previously respected you will now mock you and call you a fool if you insist upon this mad venture." He sighed deeply and slowly shook his head. "It is very clear that you do not understand me. I no longer care about trying to win the respect and approval of people. I only desire the king's approval." Stephen left before dawn the next morning, carrying only a small backpack with a few clothes, a little bit of food, and a bottle of water. As he walked down the road, he could see the first rays of sunlight breaking over the horizon. He wondered what he would discover on this journey. He felt a strange excitement as he walked. Not only was the sun dawning, but so was a revelation. Once he walked outside the gates of the City of Respectability, a pressure he had not even realized was present with him day and night had lifted. It was the pressure to conform to the culture of respectability. It had weighed upon him since he was born. Without its ever-present companionship, Stephen felt like he could skip like a child and laugh at the same time. "This is going to be good," he said aloud, smiling to himself. Stephen had not walked for more than an hour when he saw a group of three young men ahead of him on the road. They also carried backpacks with them. Stephen quickened his pace to catch up with them. "Where are you headed, brothers?" Stephen called out with a friendly smile as he came close to the group. One young man in the group looked over his shoulder and returned the smile. "We are traveling to the City of Seekers," he said. "I haven't heard of that city," Stephen replied with a quizzical expression. "What kind of place is it?" "We have never been there ourselves," the young man answered, "but a wise one advised us to inquire there to find the answers we are looking for. We are seekers who desire to know the truth. We are tired of the lies and wickedness of this wretched kingdom of I. We have heard that if we can reach the City of Seekers, we will be told how we can meet the king and how to journey to his kingdom of I Am on the beautiful mountain." "Ah, I am also a seeker of truth and desire to journey to the kingdom of I Am," exclaimed Stephen with an exuberance of a man who just found long-lost friends. "May I join your party and walk with you to the City of Seekers?" "You are welcome to join us," the young man replied with a warm smile. Stephen fell into step with his new companion, and they began to converse in earnest. "My name is Timothy," the young man said as he extended his hand in greeting. "I'm Stephen." The two shook hands and continued walking with the others. "What prompted you to begin your journey to the City of Seekers?" Stephen asked curiously. "I was born in the City of Mammon," Timothy began. "It's a wretched place to live. Everyone is consumed day and night with trying to get money. For years, I watched my parents constantly hustling for money and having nothing else on their minds. They basically ignored me and my brothers. They excused themselves by saying they were working hard to provide for us, so we should not complain if they were not around much. We tried to understand, but it was a lonely way to grow up. When I was old enough to help the family, my father pushed me to start hustling for money like he did. He taught me different ways to lie and manipulate people for money. It made me feel sick inside. I felt hopeless and wondered if life could ever be any better than that. Then one night, I had a vivid dream in which a man dressed in white stood outside the city gate and motioned for me to follow him. I stood inside the gate, shaking my head and saying I could not leave. The man persisted. He said, "Don't be afraid. Follow me and I will show you the way of truth." When I woke up, I had this overwhelming urge to leave the City of Mammon, but I didn't know where I would go. Then that same day, my friend David came to my house with his brother Thomas. Timothy nodded toward the two young men who were walking ahead of them and continued his story. David began to excitedly share a dream he had the night before. It was almost identical to my dream. We were all in amazement and felt it was a sign that we should leave the City of Mammon. We knew our families would try to stop us, but we were determined to go. So 3 days ago, just before sunrise, we quietly left the City of Mammon. Stephen was amazed by their story. "But how did you know which direction you should travel?" he asked. David turned around and stopped to tell the rest of the story. "In both of our dreams, the man in white stood outside the city gates and motioned for us to follow him. He was heading east, toward the sunrise, so we decided to head in that direction. It wasn't long after we started walking that a man joined us on the road and asked us where we were heading. We explained that we didn't exactly know, but we were following directions we had received in a dream. The man replied, "You are headed to the city of seekers, all who want to find the truth about themselves, the kingdom of I, and about the king, must first go to the city of seekers. There you will be given instructions." He said it so authoritatively that we were sure this was another sign for us to follow, David explained. Thomas jumped in to continue the narrative. Then Timothy asked the stranger, "What do you mean by saying that we will be told the truth about the kingdom of I?" The stranger looked at Timothy with blazing eyes. He spoke with intensity in his voice. "This kingdom of I that you have lived in for so many years is a false kingdom. It is filled with lies. The idols that are worshipped in every city are not gods at all. They are simply the work of man's hands. But there is a true kingdom and a true king. And that king is the one true God. And it is the king who has drawn you out of the city of Mammon. He's calling you to meet him and to journey to his kingdom on the beautiful mountain. His kingdom is called the kingdom of I am. It is a reality more real than this kingdom of I that you've lived in for so long. It is a place of joy and genuine fulfillment that you can never experience in this land." We were so amazed by this revelation and what this man seemed to know about us that we began talking excitedly among ourselves for a few moments. We turned back to engage the stranger in further conversation, but he was gone. We never even learned his name. Stephen stood there astonished by what he had just heard. He pondered it all before speaking. Then he spoke slowly as if he was talking aloud to himself. "If this is true, then the king must be drawing me to his kingdom too." After pausing for another moment, Stephen continued by saying, "I had a dream in which I saw a king on his throne and he called me by name. He was welcoming me to the kingdom of I am." He looked solemnly at his new companions as he remembered the intensity of that dream. "Just like you, I was disgusted by what I saw in my hometown, the city of respectability. I wanted to flee the place and look for truth. And then that dream, which was so vivid and real, convinced me that I needed to search for the truth. Was there a place called the Kingdom of I Am? I didn't know, but I was determined to find out for myself. And now we are here on this road together, traveling to the city of seekers," he said in a tone of wonder. "I am so grateful to have met you, my friends," Stephen finished, sighing with relief. The three friends smiled and slapped Stephen on the back lightheartedly and shook his hand. Timothy said, "We are happy to have met you as well. It's good to know that the king is drawing others to meet him. We will need to encourage one another on our journey because I'm quite sure there will be some who will try to dissuade us from pursuing the truth." The group resumed walking down the road. Stephen asked the trio, "Have you ever heard about how the kingdom of I began?" "No, I haven't, and I've always wondered about that," Timothy replied. "Then allow me to tell you what I learned from an old man named Methuselah." For the next hour or so, as they walked, Stephen recounted all that he had heard from the oldest citizen in the city of respectability.